Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. I knew I had been touched this week. I didn't know how much until I stand right here right now. I knew the Lord had done a work in me. And tonight, what I want to do is take some time and share with you what all we did. I'm not going to preach. You don't ever know that. But I want to just share with you tonight of the trip out to Portland. And what we did and some of the times we've had. I just want to share with you that. So that's basically what we'll do tonight. We're going to sing some. I'm going to try to get with these musicians today, and we'll go over some of these courses. But in Matthew chapter 16, I saw something that I've never saw before on the way back from Portland yesterday. We left out there at 7 o'clock in the morning, flying back. And somewhere over the Rocky Mountains, between 30 and 39,000 feet above the earth, the Lord began to deal with me about Matthew chapter 16. And I wrote for 6 hours, just writing down scriptures. That's how long it took to fly it. We finally got in here at 4:30 yesterday afternoon. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 is where I'll be beginning at. Jesus is in Caesarea and Philippi. And he turns around and he asks his men something. And look at verse 13, and it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea, Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say, thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shalt be loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I'm going to look at some other scriptures besides just this one, but I want to come down through here. Jesus with his people, Jesus with his disciples, Jesus with his men. And he turns around to him and he says, who do men say that I am? Well, there was a mixed up and a varied amount of answers. Elijah, Jeremiah, some of the prophets. And if I was to ask you that this morning, who do people say that I am? You're some guy that come from Griffin and has really blowed my head away and have messed up my whole being, and you've shown a lot of things in the Word that I'm scratching my head and I still hadn't figured out. But what I really want to know is, who do you say that I am? Am I just some man? Am I just somebody, another preacher that's come through this house? Am I just somebody passing through, looking for another place to go? Who do you say that I am? And unless your answer lines up with Simon Bar-Jonas's, we'll sit right here just like we are from now until he comes. Unless you can decide that I am put here by God, just like Jesus was, that I am not the Christ, but I am a Christ. I am an anointed one. That's what Christ means. If it blows some of you away, Christ means the anointing. Jesus Christ is Jesus, the anointed one. And he's always preeminent. Don't let me blow your mind with that. But Christ, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus even says, in the end days there will be false Christ, false anointed ones. And unless you can believe and line up with the answer that Peter gave to Jesus, we'll be doing the same thing that we're doing right now from now until he comes. Until you can come to the conclusion, or get you a pastor, or go someplace and get under the leadership of a pastor, that you can finally come to the belief that he is a man of God and put there for to do something, a purpose, you're not going to do a thing but sit and be slapped around and beat by the devil. So you see where I'm coming from. There must be a commander-in-chief of every army. Jesus is the head. But then it flows by his divine order through pastors, deacons, and elders, and on to the saints. So he said, "Who say you that I am?" And unless you're lined up with the answer that Peter gave to Jesus, unless you can see that Jesus, as Peter saw, that Jesus was sent by God, the Son of the living God, and unless you can see that I am sent by the Lord Jesus Christ to come here and to minister at this pulpit, at this church, in this city, then we're wasting our time. And if you can't line up with that, then one of us needs to go. Did I say that? Go someplace where you can get into that mentality. My goodness, people. Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I can't get off of it. I am a son of God. And unless you can see that anointing, that calling in my life, then something needs to transpire. Let me go on, or I'll just stay there. Verse 17, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now, if you have that revelation, if you have a revelation that Delbert Young is here because God's put him here, who has given you that revelation? Has flesh and blood given it unto you? No, because flesh and blood will never tell you that. All flesh and blood wants to do is protect the saints from the deep, from the pastor. The way flesh and blood thinks is protect somebody. Don't let the pastor blow them away. Was that the way Peter thought? Verse 18. "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." When you respond that way, what's he going to do? When you respond to who leadership really is, what will Jesus do? He'll build his church. Notice, church. Is there an S on it? Church. One church. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can you see warfare there? You see, that's what the Lord really opened to me. This is warfare. The church is an army. Now, it's also typified as a bride. And it's also typified as the body. But it is an army. The church is an army of the Lord Jesus Christ going to the gates of hell. Somehow we've got a mentality that we're running from gates. But the church is to go and attack the gates of hell. And most of us sit waiting on the gates of hell to come and attack us. I'm ready to attack. I'm ready to go. God has instructed me this week, build an army. Attack the gates of hell, Delbert. Build an army. I can't do it by myself. When those two spies, when they swim across the Jordan River going over to check out Jericho, did they conquer the land by themselves? No. I can be a spy. I can go into the land and see the forted walls. I can go into a land and find and discover its weaknesses. I can go in there and find the Rahabs who want to be converted, but I can't conquer it by myself. It takes an army. And I can't cross without you. And I want to cross. I want to go across Jordan. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. What do keys open? Doors. Now he's talking here about what? Building a church. And giving the keys of the kingdom. Can I show you and tell you that a key to every city is a church? That a key to the conquest of a city is going to be a church? There is a key church in the city. How do you like that? There is a key in a city that's going to unlock that city and tear down the gates of hell. Upon that rock, upon that understanding of who the anointed one is in the city, upon that understanding, I'll build my church. And I'll give them the keys. And the gates of hell cannot stand against that church. And I could take you over there. I don't have time, to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, chapter 3. And it writes to all those different churches. To the church of the city of Samaria, Philippi, or Philadelphia, Laodicea, Ephesus. It's writing to the church of that city and to the angel of the church. And if you look up that word angel, some of you can tell me that come on Wednesday night, what does the word angel mean in the Strong's Concordance? Pastor. There is going to be a pastor in this city. There's going to be an angel in this city, and he's going to have a key, he's going to have a letter from heaven, and it's going to say, take it. I'll give them to you. But it's upon the revelation of who that person is that he can do it. How am I doing? Verse 19, it says, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What are you binding and loosening? Spiritual warfare, people. Every city in the book of Joshua was taken a different way. Every city was bound a different way. Every city was loosed a different way. Every one of them. No two cities. How many did they walk around 13 times? How many? One. Every city is taken a different way. But they took it by the way Joshua said to take it. And Joshua heard from God. There is a means that's going to take this city. And until I can find out what it is, I've got to get on my face before God. I got to hear from him. But I don't care how much I hear or how I find out to do it. If I don't have anybody to understand that I'm put here by God for that very purpose, what good's it going to do? We are an army. Mighty warriors, dressed for battle. Can you hear me? I want to go real quickly to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. We're talking about building the church. A church that the gates of hell cannot, will not, shall not, never will prevail against. I'm tired of all the lackadaisical Christianity. I'm tired of fussing with people who say, I don't believe that, Delbert Young. Well, I don't care. Go someplace where you can find what you believe. Get you somebody that you can get under his authority, under his leadership, so that you can get into a church where you can take the city. Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are what? Laborers together with God. Is the church doing that? Are we fussing and fighting with one another? And I don't go there. I don't want to do that. Unless we're laboring together with God, we'll never build a house. I can't get out there and lay all those blocks. Now, I'm not talking about a natural house. What I'm really talking about, I'm just giving you an illustration. I can't get out there and nail all those boards. Have I got to have some help? I can't build a spiritual house unless we're laboring together. We're wasting our time. Unless the Lord builds a house anyway, it's vain and vanity. We are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's what? What am I talking about? Building a church. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder. Paul is the wise master builder. Architect is what that word means. Paul has, we were building upon the foundations, Ephesians 2:20 says, of the apostles and the prophets. Paul is a wise master builder. He's a wise architect. I have laid the foundation, Paul says, and another buildeth thereon. Now, if I'm building and building a house, how do I build it? What foundation must I build it on? Right? But upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. I've got to find out what this master builder has said to do. I've got to find out what the plan is and implement it. Wise master builder, and other shall build thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. How many are going about today building it their way? Talk to me. How many? All of them. Is there anything in this city that has taken this city? Is there a church in this city that has taken it? Talk to me. Why? You're hearing what I'm saying. Let every man take heed how he build it. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If I get out of this word, people don't follow me. If I lose my pattern, if I leave this thing, you go find someplace else or you tell me to. But as long as I'm in it, I'm telling you right now, I expect you to follow me. Corporal in our army, do they say, please, Corporal, go and clean out the bathroom. If you have time this afternoon, Corporal, would you please go clean out the bathroom? Do they? Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's time, people. It's time. We've played around too long. We've played pastor in church for 2,000 years, and it hadn't worked. It's time to build an army. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. Talk to you about a Jeremiah ministry a few minutes. Show you what the man of God is instructed to do. If you don't know where it's at, go to Isaiah and then go to the right one more book. And while we're getting there, I want to emphasize these points. It is important for you to know and to understand what God is saying to our generation. He's saying something to this generation that he said to no other generation, people. There's a word coming forth to this generation that no other generation has ever heard. It's a word of perfectness. It's a word of finality. When an apple is ripe, do you pick it? When the church is ripe, it'll get picked. And it talks about perfection. It talks about a time of maturity. This generation shall not pass, people. I want you to ask yourself these questions as I ask them to you. Answer them in your own heart, in your own mind. But these are important questions for every believer and for every church. It's okay if you believe and answer this question right, if you have the proper perspectives and outlook upon what's happening today in the earth. But unless we can corporately look at it this way, we're all still wasting our time. Number one, what is your vision? What is your vision? To come and sit on this pew every Sunday or Sunday night and Wednesday, or come and sit whenever I call a special meeting? Is that your purpose? Is that all you want out of this thing? Is that your vision? Or are you wanting to see a church built that will literally and actually control this city? Where's your vision? It's somewhere in between those two. Somewhere it is. I want to give you the full vision of it. What God's Word totally says. I don't want you stopping 4th or 50 or 75% of the way. I want you to make it, folk. I want you to be part of a church that's going to capture and take this city for God. I've already talked to one pastor in this city about getting a billboard up. Jesus is Lord over Lafayette. What is your vision? What is our vision? You see, it should be the same. Joshua wanted to take Jericho, didn't he? Yeah, he did. That's right. Did the people want to take Jericho? Was their vision the same? Did they want to take Canaan land? Had that generation had enough death? Had that generation had enough of wandering around in the wilderness? Had that generation had enough of all of that junk behind us? Had it? They didn't even want manna no more. Man, we wanted to go and get some good corn. We had enough of all of that junk. Let's go! Millions come out of Egypt. Millions come out of Egypt. I'm so full, I'll never finish this. Millions come out of Egypt. How many died? That's right. All those 20 years old and older died in the wilderness. That generation didn't go in. Murmuring, complaining, griping. Come up to the very brink of the Jordan and turn around and go back. How many times has the church come up to the very brink of the Jordan and turn around and go back? I want to possess the land. I'm tired of all that junk. I'm tired of the old ways. I'm tired of all that wandering around in the wilderness looking for a sermon. My God, give me one. Let me come preach it. I'm stirred. What is our vision? What are your goals? What is your individual goal? Come and sit in church. Have some money in the bank. Lay back. You fool. This night shall your soul be required of thee. What are our goals? What are our corporate goals? If I've done nothing else, I've given you some goals. What do you believe is the central thing in the mind of God? For you to come and sit on this pew 3 times a week? Prosperity. Health. What's the central thing? Conform to His image. Become a mighty warrior. Dressed for battle. Repossess all those things that the kingdom of darkness has taken away. Claim this city. Bring down the walls of Jericho. Burn Ai. Hang the 5 evil kings. False prophetic ministry. What is the center of our mind? Is it in conformity with the mind of God? Is the church world's mind today in conformity to the mind of God? Absolutely not. People, we're missing it. We're missing it. We're missing it. You might not agree with that. But you read this and then you look at it and you tell me. Jeremiah. Looking at a Jeremiah ministry. Verse 4, chapter 1. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. How many believe that? How many believe God knew you in your mother's womb? God sanctified you before you come from the very womb of your mother. I've had 3 hands go up. How many believe that? Get your hands up. Come on, get with me, people. And I ordained thee to sit on the pew 3 times a week. Has He given you some ministry to do? Has He called you for a purpose? Have you got something that you need to be waiting on the Lord during the week to hear from Him so that when you come to the church service on Sunday, you can bring it forth? You say, you don't know about that. No, I haven't heard that before. What do you think waiting on your ministry means? You wait on your ministry. You get some time with the Lord. How many? I'm afraid to ask. I won't ask. But very few Christians even open this thing during the week. And they're waiting on their ministry. That's right. They're just sitting there waiting. We have got to begin to wait on our ministry, hear from the Lord during the week so that we can come to the church. What do you think He really means there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 when He says, how is it then, brethren, when all of you come, there's always a song, there's always a spiritual song, there's always a hymn, there's always a prophecy, there's always a tongue. Do you know that when you come here, there's always supposed to be a song, a hymn, a prophecy, a tongue? You know what I'm hearing from that? We're not waiting on our ministry. Very seldom do we flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Should we? Why don't we? Are we waiting on our ministry? I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I'll leave that alone. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. What is the church today? Mighty warrior? Child. What is the bride of Christ? The Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Now, if you believe that God sent me here, then you've also got to believe that I'm saying what He's told me to speak. How many of you prayed for a pastor that would bring forth the word? But then you say, well, no, I don't like it that way. I ain't never heard it like that before. How many of you wanted a pastor that would pray, but when he hears from God and tells you something, no, I don't want to do it that way. Child or children. Play in church, play in church, play in church. It's true. Verse 8. Be not afraid of their faces. For I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Do you believe that spoke to me? Verse 10. Verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand. What's the hand? Wednesday nighters, what's the hand? Fivefold ministry. Apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. The Lord put forth his hand. I'm telling you people, the Lord has put forth his hand in this building. The Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. Why? Why would the Lord put forth his hand and touch Jeremiah's mouth? So he could speak the same words that God's speaking. So that his words would agree with the words of God. So that his words would agree with the words of the Bible. So that his words would be God and go forth and cut and sever and separate the soul and the spirit. Circumcise people. Sorry, Roger. Go forth and do some circumcisions of some hearts. Discern. Good and evil. In who? Me? Yeah, partly. But who mostly? Who mostly? Who mostly does the word that I speak here go forth and touch? This people. My nation. The Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. How many know that most ministries today are not speaking the words of God? Not all, but most. Didn't Paul say that in the latter days, men would wax cold? They'd be giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That there would be many that would fall away in apostasy from the church. Many leaving the true words of God and going forth to somebody who will tickle their ears. Itching ears. It's in direct contrast to Samuel, where the words of Samuel will cause your ears to quiver. Make it sound good, Pastor. Preach me what I want to hear. Tell me how to get my gold Cadillac and my house paid for. And that's part of it. But only a part. It's not the total counsel of the Word of God. The Word of God will quiver your ears. It'll circumcise your heart. It'll separate in your life evil and good. It'll separate soul and spirit in you. When the Word of God comes forth, people, it hurts. And if you let him go ahead and circumcise you, he'll use a sharp knife. But if you mess around and wait on him, he'll get him a flint rock. But you're going to get circumcised. Now, which way you want it? You want it through the Word? Or by a flint rock to fall on you? Does Revelation say that there will be many in that day where the rocks want the rocks to fall on them? Who is the rock? Get me under your covering. Let me into your house. Let me get under the rock. This pressure out here is too much. Verse 10. See, I have set thee. See, I have this day set thee over the nations. What is a nation? What is a nation? Now, let's get away from denominations. Let's just look at this way. A nation is people who have a different mother. What did he say? A nation is a people who have different mother. Did Ishmael and Isaac have the same father? Did they have the same mother? And you'll read over there in Galatians chapter 4 where those are two allegories. One is the heavenly city, Isaac. One is the earthly and the carnal and the natural, Ishmael. So a nation is people who have different mothers, not necessarily a different father. Now I'm saying a whole lot. There are people who have been birthed by the Spirit of God. Same father, but a different mother. What about I'm getting away from this a little bit, but I'm coming right back. What about Abraham? No, let's go with Jacob. What about Jacob? Did he have one wife or two? Two. And he had 12 sons. Now see, Joseph and Benjamin were brothers out of the same woman from the same man. The other 10 come from another woman. Who got through in the pit? By who? His brothers from another woman. If you're not getting thrown in a pit, check who your mother is. Well, all I'm simply saying is there's somebody who's going to store up some corn and some food for a people that's going to save them. And there's somebody else who's doing nothing but throwing people in pits. Throw me in a pit now so that I can later on give forth some corn and some food that will save my nation. So he set him over the nation and over the kingdoms. I can't get all this. We looked in Acts 26 when we were going through the book of Acts, and we met a fellow named Agrippa. And Agrippa had all the religious answers, didn't he? Remember Agrippa? He had all the religious answers. And all the people would come to Agrippa and ask Agrippa questions about the Jews, about religiousism, Judaism. And Agrippa always had the answers. Agrippa knew religious things. But he had his own little kingdom, his own little area that the Roman Empire had given him to rule. His own little kingdom. And many preachers today, many pastors today, are developing their own little kingdoms. Their own little place. Their own little buildings. Their own little thing where they're ruling. Agrippa's. They've got the answers. But you see, there's at the same time of people that's being put over them, there's a Jeremiah ministry that's going to raise up above that thing. Beware of that. And then it said, I have set thee this day over the nations and over the kingdoms. Now what for? Look what he has set them there for. To root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. What does a man of God do? Pat you on the back. Oh, we got such a sweet pastor. He pats me on the back. Yeah. But what are you doing? Are you conforming to an image? Is he preaching you the word? Is he taking the sword, which is the word of God, and circumcising your heart and cutting away from you all the things that don't look like Jesus? Or is he patting you on the back? Nice pastor, sweet pastor. What do you want? You want a nice, sweet pastor? Me or you, one's got to move. I swing a sword. Now, I'm a sweet person, but I preach the word. And it says here that he's to root out. In Matthew chapter 7, don't turn there, just listen. But it tells us that you'll know them by their what? Fruit. Now what bears fruits? Trees. Does a tree have roots? Yeah. All right. So we're roots. We're trees. You see? And there's some roots of you that are going down. And if I want to kill a tree in your life, what will I do? If I can get to that root, I can kill that tree. And a Jeremiah ministry is to do that. To get down and root out. Root out. And then he says, secondly, I'm not going to labor on these. I've got a lot of scriptures and all of them. I'm just going to go on. First of all, he sends him up there to root out, then to pull down. What about in Ephesians 6:12? It says that we wrestle with flesh and blood, right? Huh? We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. But we're still waiting on Armageddon, aren't we? The USSR and the Soviet Union. We're going to go over there and drop bombs and fight with those people. Isn't that right? We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but we wrestle with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And he tells us in 2 Corinthians to pull it down. Pull down. Root up and pull it down. What will the church do? Wrestle with flesh and blood? wrestle with principalities and powers and pull them down. And if I can build you an army, what will we be doing? Pulling down. Going forth, rooting up, pulling down those things that are not Christ-like. Is everything going to be shaken that can be shaken? Is your life shaken? Are the things being shaken out of your life that are not like the kingdom of God? Yes, they are. It'll happen in you first, and then you'll go forth and do the same thing by rooting up and pulling down. We do it in our families. We pull down strongholds over our families. It's the Father's place, in fact, to send forth blessings upon that family and to pull down the strongholds over that household. Does the church have a stronghold over it? Well, it does. I haven't taught you. Yes. And you got to find it and pull it down. A city have a stronghold over it? Yes. And you got to find it and pull it down. Does your individual life have a stronghold over it? What is that thing in you that keeps bugging you all the time? What is it? You see, you got to find it and pull it down. Root it up and pull it down. So in the individual life, in your individual home, in the church, and in the city, we got to root it up and pull it down. And then do what? Destroy. Destroy. Can you see an army? An army goes forth to conquer. If you're not going to win the battle, why fight? Get out of the thing. Stay home and watch. You can do something else. Turn to 1 John 3:8. Just to wake some of you up. 1 John 3:8. No, I don't see nobody sleeping today for some reason. 1 John 3:8. You there? 1 John 3:8 says, he that committeth sin is of the what? The devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might, what? Destroy the works of the devil. And when the church is built in the name of Jesus, what will it do? Destroy the works of the devil. We're an army. I'm back in Jeremiah. We're an army. We're rooting up. We're pulling down. We're destroying the strongholds in your life, in your family, in the city. Now see, I kind of see a pattern that we've kind of set forth here. I've always dealt basically with you as individuals now. And last week we've been teaching on the home and the family over the last several weeks. And now what dimension are we moving into? See, we're going on forth to conquer and to destroy. And I could talk about his prophet that gets cast into the lake of fire. And I could talk about the devil who gets cast into the bottomless pit. Right? So we're to do that. But before you will ever witness that, before you will ever witness that beast being cast into the lake of fire and his prophet being cast into the lake of fire and the devil being cast into a bottomless pit, you're going to have to do that first in your life. That beastly thing in you, that beastly thing in me, we've got to take control over it, root it up, pull it down, destroy it, and cast it into the bottomless pit or into the lake of fire. Can you hear what I'm saying? The beastly thing that's in us has got to go. That false prophetic thing, that false religious thing in us has got to go. That devilish thing in you has got to go. And in Ephesians, it talks about giving no place to the devil. And that word place, if you look it up, is the word terrain. The Greek word there means terrain. Give no terrain to him. Give him no foothold. What is a bottomless pit? What is a bottomless pit? Does a bottomless pit have a foothold? No. So you've got to cast the beast, the prophet, the false religious things in your life, and the devil into the bottomless pit. You do that before you ever see it done. Now, I'm in Jeremiah. I'm finishing up. Let's read verse 10 together again. See how I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down. So what? We can do what? Build and plant. And the Word of God in Matthew chapter 13 and in Mark chapter 4, it talks about the Word of God as a seed. The sower went forth to throw seed. And he later on tells you that that seed that he's talking about is the Word of God. And it fell on different kinds of soil, didn't it? Some of this that I'm throwing out is falling on pathway soil. The fowls of the air are taking it away just as fast as it hits your soil. Just as fast as it hits your mind. Just as fast as it comes in. Here comes the fowls of the air and takes it away. Some of this seed's going out and it's falling on soil that has rocks in it. And the roots aren't deep. The roots aren't getting down to any nourishment of water. And as soon as there's a hot time in your life, as soon as there's a fire coming through your life, you'll be burned up. There's another kind of seed, the thorns and the thistle seed. Cares of this world. I want things, Brother Young. I just want things. Yeah, and they're your God. And they rob you of the seed that I plant into your life every week. But then there's another kind of soil. There's a hundredfold soil. There's a soil that seed goes on and it brings forth 30, 60, hundredfold. What are you? What kind of soil are you? Are you the kind of soil that brings forth much fruit? Or the soil that the fowls of the air come and take it away? Or the heat burns it up? Or things that the cares of this world just overcome? Or are you the kind of soil that produces 30, 60, 100 fold? So the one thing we're supposed to do here is seed. So that we pluck up, we pull down, we destroy, we cast down so that we can seed, plant, and build. The reason I waited for build for last was because that's the whole emphasis, build a church. Jesus said, upon this rock, upon your understanding that there is a divine order of things, upon your revelation of who God has at this moment in your presence, upon that revelation, Peter, I'll build my rock. I'll build my church. I'll build my house. Upon that revelation, what are we building? What are we building today as a corporate body? Are we taking this city truthfully? I want the truth. Some of you see the future. Some of you see us as taking that city. Because you know that's what I preach and that's what I teach. But are we doing it now? Why? Have we been builded? Have we become that army of the Lord that can go and crush the gates of hell? Have we? Do we want to be? Do we want to conform to an image and build a church that can go forth as a mighty warrior dressed for battle? If we don't, we're missing the entire purpose of the whole thing. We're missing it. Stand on your feet.